I'm Tom Schultz, host of Voices of Montana. Thanks for joining us for the podcast today, brought to you by Blackfoot Communications.
Does your home qualify for a $70 discount on your internet bill? Blackfoot Communications is proud to partner with the FCC to help ensure that households can afford the broadband necessary for work, school, healthcare, and more. For more information on this federal program and to see if your household qualifies for a discount on your internet service, visit goblackfoot.com/ACP. Connect to more with Blackfoot Communications.
Let's welcome our first guest here. It is House Minority Leader Kim Abbott, serving House District 83 in the Helena area since 2017. And good morning, Kim. How are you?
Good morning, Tom. I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm hanging in there. I really appreciate you being on. Also, Representative Jonathan Carlin. Introductions. I've not met Jonathan yet. House District 96 in the Missoula area. It goes west up through Houston. How are you, Jonathan?
I'm good, Tom. How are you?
Hanging in there. Be rocking it here in just a bit. Let's start off with House Minority Leader Kim Abbott. And thanks again, Kim. I really appreciate you guys being here and talking about this. It's just an open time to discuss the things that are on your plate. Of course, I think everybody's talked about how there's a supermajority on the other side of the aisle and dealing with that. But I mean, it was a near supermajority in that last legislative session as well. And I think why don't you talk about that and how you were able to, with collaboration, get some of your agenda items out too?
Sure, Tom. Yeah. There is a supermajority this time around. And a Republican in the governor's office, and that's a lot of responsibility for Republicans to govern. What we've said out of the gate is we're good at working across the aisle. We've had to do it for the last, 20 years. And by the nature of the makeup of the legislature, everything that we pursue that we get across the finish line has to be bipartisan. We have good relationships across the aisle. And what we've consistently said is this session, we're going to work with Republicans, whether it's the governor or legislative Republicans, where we can, on priorities for our communities and for the state of Montana, whether that's, increasing access to childcare, workforce housing, property tax relief, income tax relief. There's a lot of energy for all those things.
Yeah.
Our approach is really about targeting working class, middle class families. We're ready to work with Republicans, but where we need to hold them accountable, where their proposals aren't, meeting the values that we think we need to meet, we're gonna say that, and we're gonna stand our ground on that.
Representative Jonathan Carlin, from House District 96. This is your first session, and I suppose your eyes are like popping out of your head with all the bustling and the work that's going on. Or maybe you've been aptly prepared. You're carrying a number of bills too that. They're pretty deep in policy too. So welcome. Tell me your first impression here as a freshman representative.
Yeah, I mean, I've been learning a tremendous amount. But one thing which has helped me a lot is I had a competitive campaign, and in doing that, I got to talk to just people from all walks of life in my district. Rural, urban, everything in between. And so I felt like really for the past year, in a lot of ways, I've been campaigning, but I've been preparing to actually serve and to govern because I've been learning about what's on people's mind. And so really the bills that I have are just products of what I've been hearing from Montanans for the last year and a half.
You've got some unique, individual approaches here in some of these bills, providing a one-time refund for occupying a Montana residence. We'll get into that as well. Providing a circuit, this is the title here that I have through Legislative Services, providing for circuit breaker income tax credit for property taxes paid and revised Social Security income taxation. I want to kind of touch on all those, but Representative and House Minority Leader Kim Abbott, why don't you open up this discussion about taxes this week? A lot of those bills, as we had kind of noted and covered throughout the week, are being discussed on the floor. What's your sense of all that? And in hearings as well, but what's your sense of all that?
Yeah, sure. This week we saw a number of property tax and income tax proposals, both in the Senate and the House. And our approach as a caucus is we have an unprecedented generational opportunity for investment with the surplus. And we want to give some of that. We want to invest some of that, and we want to give some back to the taxpayers. And so what you saw from the governor is a one-time flat property tax rebate. our approach is different, and Jonathan has the bill on the one-time-only property tax relief, and it's really targeted at everyone who pays property taxes, including renters. And so I'll let him talk a little bit about that. But we have a proposal for long-term property tax relief. We have a proposal for one-time-only short-term relief. And then we have an income tax proposal that increases the earned income tax credit for working families, and that we're really excited about. Emma Kerr Carpenter has that one.
Well,
so I'll let Jonathan talk about his bills if you want.
Yeah, and I've heard, Jonathan, a lot of the legislators talk about the need for both immediate property tax relief and then also some long-term solutions. It's hard. This is an issue that we've been dealing with, and if we really, really want to get down and dirty and try to solve our property tax problem in Montana, it involves a discussion that a lot of folks are not willing to have, I think, because of the dynamics behind property taxes and a sales tax. But I don't know if we want to get into that. Talk about your long-term and short-term solutions and how you would propose that they are maybe more appropriate for Montana voters than some other solutions out there.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, so just like you said, the way we're approaching property tax is that we have to have both the short term and the long term. And so on the short term, on the rebate, we have it's a $650, up to $650 property tax rebate year to families earning 130% area median income or less. And this is based on county. And so the goal of this is to really target your middle class families, working families, people on fixed incomes. But to also make sure that we're doing this in a fiscally responsible way, that we're not cutting big checks to folks that have really large incomes, people that have large out-of-state incomes, and frankly, that the property taxes are not a huge burden on them. And in my opinion, and I think the opinion of others in the caucus, is that we have to approach this from a responsible way and fiscally responsible when it comes to both short- and long-term property taxes. It means making sure we're targeting the people that really need help on their property taxes. And on the long-term front, it's an income tax credit that's based on your property tax burden. And this is just accounting for the fact that in my district in western Missoula County, people that have lived in their home, say, for 10 years have seen massive appreciation of their home's value, but their income is not going up by anywhere near that same rate. And so what this does is that it takes into account income and property tax burden to produce a income tax credit, which is going to directly go to help relieve the property tax burden for people that are being stuck with these huge property tax bills simply because of appreciation or their property values that they have no control over.
You mentioned property owners, and to talk at those that have that need. You're also targeting renters because you feel, and I think economics will back that up too. You feel that some of those property tax increases are shifted there. But go ahead and defend that position better than I have.
Well, yeah, and thanks for bringing that up. So about 30% of Montanans are renters, and you know, I think that anyone that thinks that the increase we're seeing in property tax isn't affecting renters are sort of blind to the fact that, of course, the landlord is going to pass along property tax increases to their renters. There's no other way to do it. And so what we're seeing is that rents continue to rise, just like property taxes rise. And so we're basically providing the same aid that we're providing property owners to renters. And what, you know, I think we're going to see a really strong economic impact to this because a lot of renters are interested in becoming homeowners. Renters are, you know, we see everything from young people to seniors, families. And so I think we're going to see broad impact. And, you know, I was just reading the other day that in Missoula now there are more renters than homeowners. So, you know, I think any plan, I mean, frankly, right now the governor's plan doesn't include anything for renters, and I think that neglects a huge portion of Montanans, and as a result, we're going to see less bang for our buck, if you will, when it comes to the way I see this, that if we're going to be putting money into the economy, we want to make sure that we're going to be targeting the people most likely to stimulate the economy, to create jobs, to put that money back in the community. And if we're ignoring renters, we're ignoring more than 30% of the state who are critical to generating the economic activity that, you know, frankly, the governor claims to want.
Representative Jonathan Carlin, again, House District 96 in the Missoula area, freshman Democrat, I should say, and House Minority Leader Kim Abbott is with us, too. So, Kim, I want to ask you, how is this just not a redistribution of wealth, taking from those who have and just giving to those who don't have? Not every property owner out there has passed the entire property tax burden and all those increases in maintaining a home onto their renters. I know a lot of them who have, you know, they care about their renters and they take all of that into consideration. I think that's quite a majority out there. So how is this not just redistribution of wealth?
Well, Tom, I think what we're doing is targeting tax relief at the folks that are pinched, right? At the folks that really can't afford the increasing property tax. And that's our approach. And that's where you'll see a difference between us in the Democratic caucus and in the governor's proposal and other Republican proposals. And there's a bunch of them out there. I think Republicans aren't very clear on what they want yet. We are clear on what we want. We want short-term property tax relief that's targeted at middle-income families. We want long-term property tax relief that is really about, you know, fixing a problem over the long term for families that are just not able to afford the increase and are, you know, in danger of losing their housing. We have a housing crisis in the state, and this is one way we can help address it. And then we want an earned income tax credit increase. That is, as we've talked about this before, but, you know, that's a Reagan policy that, you know, is an incredible economic boom. You're putting money back in the pockets of the people that need to spend it in communities. So that's what we want. That's what we've been saying from the beginning. And it's really, I think, the energy is there for property tax and income tax relief. The question is on the approach and who benefits. Is it the wealthiest folks or is it middle class people?
Stand by, because I want to get into that a little bit. Yep. You know, when you talk about long-term solutions out there, I don't know that they're all well-defined on either side of the aisle. And because there's probably a number of options out there, too. So that's property taxes. We will get into the earned income tax credit as well, because Montana, and thanks, we chatted earlier this week, informed me that became a part of our tax program in 2017, and it's an additional tax credit, but it has been since the federal government put in the ETIC pretty effective. So we'll come on back with more with Kim Abbott and Jonathan Carlin.
Does your home qualify for a $70 discount on your internet bill? Blackfoot Communications is proud to partner with the FCC to help ensure that households can afford the broadband necessary for work, school, healthcare, and more. For more information on this federal program and to see if your household qualifies for a discount on your internet service, visit goblackfoot.com/ACP. Connect to more with Blackfoot Communications.
Welcome back. We're at 866-627-5483. You want to text us here at 781-627-5483. The Minority Party Hour here this week. Next week, it'll be the Majority Party Hour. And why not have a party hour? It's Friday, right? Cody Ross, you know, he gets to put his own spin on things here. And he's a George Jones guy. He's just George Jones kind of guy, I'll tell you that. And why not? It's finally Friday. Welcome. I hope you guys are doing well. And again, a pleasure to welcome House Minority Leader Kim Abbott, Representative Jonathan Carlin. They are Democrats. Kim serves House District 83 in that Helena area since 2017. And Jonathan, a freshman Democrat, has some I think they're rather kind of deep bills when you look at them. And Jonathan, there's no sense waiting in, right? Just dive. Just go ahead and take the deep dive in. I think that's really good. I want to see if we can get some more definition. You know, everybody throws out, well, we need long-term and short-term solutions. But I want to define what those are. I mean, what do you think are going to be effective? And Kim, either of you guys, please respond to this. What is effective specifically long-term? What is effective in your mind short-term?
Yeah, you know, I get on the property tax front weigh in. To me, one of the biggest things that voters would talk about is the need for predictability, and that to know that in 2 years, the next reappraisal cycle, that their property taxes are not going to skyrocket while, you know, their income doesn't. And so what I like about our circuit breaker our income tax credit based on property tax burden is that homeowners and renters can have that long-term predictability to know that if their property taxes go up X percent, they're going to get an increase in their income tax credit. And you know, we're developing some materials that are going to make it, you know, to make it transparent. People could see exactly how it would impact them. And so essentially there'd be no surprises. It's not like the next reappraisal cycle is gonna create a real burden on people. And so that's our goal. It's really predictability for middle-class folks.
Interesting, and I appreciate predictability. I do see difficulty in trying to lower an income tax as a property, as another tax raises. I mean, there's the fiscal calculations, and that I think would be rather difficult. Kim, I want to have you respond as well. Predictability is one thing, and I think that's very important. What else do you think is going to help long term?
Well, I think that what we're seeing is property taxes outpacing the increase in families' income. And, you know, you hear about it for folks that have a fixed income, whether they're seniors or their wages are just kind of stagnant, you know. And so over the long term, what we want to do is use our existing system, which is the income tax system, which is, you know, an efficient way to approach this, to make sure that people's property taxes aren't increasing out of pace with their income. That's what we're hearing out on the doors. You know, I don't hear a lot about other taxes when I'm out knocking on people's doors and talking to constituents. And Jonathan, I'll brag on him a little bit, was our top door knocker last cycle. He knocked thousands and thousands of doors and talked to a lot of people in Missoula. But what we're hearing is property tax. You know, everything else is, you know, about right. Maybe people don't love it, but, like, you know, we're really hearing that people are getting pinched on property taxes, and it has an impact on the housing market. It has an impact on people's ability to stay in their homes. And so over the long term, what we want to do is give that predictability that Jonathan talked about, where people know that we're not going to see a skyrocketing property tax, you know, that's out of pace with their income.
Anything then, why these short-term solutions? What you defined one here, Jonathan, or Representative Carlin. Mm-hmm. Go ahead and continue that discussion, too. I mean, I think there's got to be a lot of ideas out there on the plate. And as I have interviewed a number and talked to lawmakers around and also stakeholders, I think they're open to a lot of ideas. And mm-hmm. Kim, as you had noted, there's energy behind this. So that's good that people are getting on the right page to solve a problem that we're all having. Go ahead, Jonathan.
And our rebate is meant to provide that immediate relief that homeowners and renters need. But that's why our rebate it's a one-time rebate. It's not a two-year rebate. It's not an ongoing rebate, because what we're really focused on is the long-term solution. You think that Montanans, and I heard this all the time from constituents, would rather have long-term relief as opposed to just sort of a big one-time payout, and then in 2 years the problem is the same, if not worse. So that's why we have a targeted one-time rebate. You know, we also have to acknowledge that cost of living has gone up a lot recently. I mean, just with inflation at what it's been for the past year plus, we believe this rebate's going to really help Montana families at a time when they need it most, but then after we provide that one-time relief, we're focused on the long term.
All right, I got to take a break. Stand by and maybe move off the discussion about property taxes because there is other proposals out there, income tax reduction, also the business equipment tax reduction, I guess I would call it simply. It's more of an extension of the allowance there. But we'll come on back and talk more. It's the Minority Hour, Minority Party Hour, pardon me. House Minority Leader Kim Abbott is with us, and Representative Jonathan Carlin.
Does your home qualify for a $70 discount on your internet bill? Blackfoot Communications is proud to partner with the FCC to help ensure that households can afford the broadband necessary for work, school, healthcare, and more. For more information on this federal program and to see if your household qualifies for a discount on your internet service, visit goblackfoot.com/ACP. Connect to more with Blackfoot Communications.
I wanted to get into some of these other tax proposals. And actually, I'm curious about this. I saw and didn't look into it. I didn't get a chance to catch those hearings. There's too many, and I can't keep up. But the House Taxation Committee tabled a bill carrying some of the governor's proposals. What do you make of that?
You know, I think, Tom, that there's a lot of energy around property tax, but I think on the Republican side, they haven't really figured out what they want to do. And so what you saw there was people not ready to sort of endorse the governor's plan yet. And from our side, you know, we've gone through our policies. We're pretty clear on what we want. And so we're just looking for an opportunity to negotiate with Republicans and see if we can't get something bipartisan done.
What do you think about the business equipment tax reduction? Again, it's a raising of the allowance there from $300,000 to under $1 million for business equipment purchases. And for me, this is one that has to go away as much as possible, because I've run a small business and I don't make big purchases. But you look at our agricultural community, and they do. And I just think it's, as somebody had said, an ongoing sales tax for our businesses. And I think it's a killer to economic development. Any thoughts?
It's a property tax at its core, and it's a tax on a business asset. We've whittled it down to the point where there just aren't that many people paying it, and the benefit goes to pretty wealthy businesses. I think our caucus will be split on it. You know, in terms of agriculture, we've talked about this before, Tom. Like, we value our food system, we value agriculture, and so we subsidize agriculture, and we subsidize it in all sorts of different ways. And that is okay with me. I think, you know, we invest in things that we value, and we invest a lot of public taxpayer dollars in agriculture. And so, you know, it looks like the governor is gonna increase the exemption on the business equipment tax. I think you said to $1 million. I think that will be where it lands. I don't think that we'll see much change in that. I think our caucus will be split on it. And from my perspective, it just doesn't impact that many businesses. And the benefit is going to people that probably don't need it very much. And our approach is to really focus on middle class working families.
Well, I know that there would be an argument that would counter that about how many businesses. I don't have that number, but the governor has presented that, and it's a lot. But I'm going to run out of time for that, and this is an ongoing discussion, but I appreciate that approach. So, Representative Carlin, we only got like 1 minute left here. Are you having fun? I'm always curious as to, you know, why people do this. And again, as I said, I've appreciated it. You get in there, it's certainly exciting. But are you having fun? Let me ask that question.
Yeah, I mean, I'll say it's incredibly rewarding in that, you know, basically you get to spend all day and frankly, a lot of nights too, talking with colleagues about, you know, how we think we can best help people. And you know, one thing I've enjoyed is working with, you know, there's people that I disagree with on a lot of things, but have been very quickly trying to find that, you know, sometimes it's just that 10% of things that we do agree on and we can try to act on it. And so I've been, you know, honored for the chance to serve and finding it incredibly rewarding.
All right. I think the best way is to just dive in, dig in deep. So good job. Kim, thank you, too. I appreciate that. We'll catch up with you next week and then in a couple of weeks as well here on the air.
Yeah, sounds good. Thanks so much, Tom.
All right. Thank you again, House Minority Leader Kim Abbott and Representative Jonathan Carlin.